eats couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That is right.
That's totally right. And this week, we've got an exciting show for you. We're going to saw through the competition.
Oh, we're getting one of these, are we?
And we're going to fly away with Amelia and see if we can find Astro Boy somewhere in the clouds.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to be the vampire's assistant.
Okay, yeah, that was like that last. I give you credit. The Saw, the Amelia, even Astro Boy was okay, but you really stretched for the vampire.
We're going to attend the Cirque du Freak.
That would have been better. Now, see that, because the other one was kind of like when they say, "Can you do a like when you're in school and they say, can you use gregarious in a sentence?" And you say, "Gregarious is a word I have to make a sentence out of."
Right. Wait, you never did that? That's how I roll.
That is how you roll.
Anywho, before we get to all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Go over to iTunes and download us, subscribe to us, review us.
Review us, because I know somebody, one of our friends from across the pond, so to speak, he's from Stockholm, wrote a review, and I haven't seen it show up on iTunes, which distresses me, because he loves us.
No, you're just counting those positive reviews. Anyway,
I'm sure
he
said good things about you, too.
Fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com is the email address, and you can leave us a voicemail at area code 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Twitter and get Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr and me at twitter.com/rejects. And that's pretty much all she wrote.
That's
Kevin, take it away.
Well, wait, isn't there also a fan page on Facebook now?
Oh, yes, there is a new fan page on Facebook. We don't have a link to that just yet. We'll link to it in the post.
We'll put it in this post. This one will be, this will happen.
I've been trying to get us one of those like facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies addresses, but apparently I'm not cool enough just yet.
Apparently that address is already taken.
Is it now?
Yeah, by Kevin Carr.
Oh, by you. Oh, that's yes. Right.
Yeah.
Lame.
I don't know if we can transfer that. We can look at, this is probably a conversation best left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Or at least off the air.
Well, anyway, so just go to Facebook and search Fat Guys at the Movies. Go to our fan page, become our fan, and glory will be yours.
Absolutely. But let's roll on. It's Halloween season, and what I love about this year, whether movies are good or bad, you mean take like Stepfather, which is just a bad movie. It's a terrible movie, the remake that came out last week. I just like the fact that they're releasing horror movies right now, because last year there was like two. There was the Saw movie, and then there was Quarantine, and that was it. Everything was on video. So I like the fact that there are horror movies, and this is our horror movie segment. You want to start, or do you want... you go ahead and start with the intro to this one, since neither of us saw it.
Well, this one is Saw 6.
you gotta figure out the Roman numerals there, didn't you? confused you.
More blood, more gore, more Rube Goldberg machines that will rip your face off. And Jigsaw has been dead for 3 films.
Have you seen any of the Saw movies?
No, I'm still resisting.
You're a Saw virgin, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting until they all come out, and I'm going to watch them all at like once. Like,
I don't
believe
that. I don't believe that one bit. I don't believe that you could make it through 2 of the movies, let alone like 6 or 8 of them. What if they make like 27? Are you just like not going to sleep for 2 days?
I guess we'll have to have a Saw marathon.
you're like I'm contractually obligated to do this then.
I just feel like it's at this point. I mean, when I didn't see the first one, I was like, oh, I should see that. And then after like the third one, I was like, yeah, I should really go back and see those. And every year it comes out, and I'm like, man, I should really go to like that Saw marathon that everybody does.
Yeah, they're showing all 5 of them. Of course, by the time you hear this, well, I guess if you're listening to this early in the morning on Friday, you can still run out and get all 5 previous Saw movies in the theater.
Yeah, and I don't really have any interest in going back and seeing the Saw movies. I get it. I know what they're about. I'm just not that. It's just not my thing, you know.
I've always liked them to a degree, and I will say that this. But by this point, if you really want to understand what's going on and who everybody is, you kind of have to see the other movies. Now, it's not that you can't follow them because they're relatively simple stories, but they all like kind of take place like consecutively. So they reference stuff that happens in the first two movies. So
I feel like that's a marketing ploy to get me to go back and watch all the other ones.
Yeah. Well, they tend to do well on Halloween. So it's another one.
Hey, and, it's not, if it's Halloween, then it must be Saw.
You're just like, you know, why don't you just say what's in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know? well, we have to give it a preemptive suck cause they didn't screen it for us. So to you,
yeah,
Lionsgate.
Take that, Lionsgate.
Not that that's going to matter at all.
It has not mattered in years past. I think this is, what, the third or fourth Saw movie that we've had to preemptively give a suck?
Yeah, it's the third one that we've covered on Fat Guys.
In our long, now 137 episode long history here at Fat Guys the Movies.
Well, let's move on to a movie that we have seen. Both of us, Cirque du Freak, the vampire's assistant, a teenager runs off with a circus of freaks after one of the lead acts turns him into a half-vampire.
Welcome to the Cirque du Freak.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Darren, I saw his painting on my vampire books. He's a vampire.
Want to become a vampire?
I'll do it.
Welcome to the Cirque.
So you really don't kill people?
No, Darren. You just sedate them, make a small incision in the shoulder, and then you take a sip. Very refreshing. You'll be able to do all kinds of things.
Can I, like, turn into a bat and stuff?
No, that's bull.
You go first. I want to hear what you
think. You know what? I saw this at Fantastic Fest, and I found it to be very charming in a way. Mm-hmm. It's a little silly. It's a little, like, Nickelodeon.
It's based on a young adult book. That's what people I don't think realize they're expecting hardcore movie. And it's
not a hardcore. It's a family movie. It's a teen comedy, I guess. But it also has some decent action. I thought the lead kid, that Chris Massaglia, was not that good.
He's
John
okay.
C. Reilly, as always, is fantastic. John C. Reilly is just clearly better than everyone else.
He sells a movie, and one of the things I said to people I've talked to about this. If you go and you get his performance, if you watch him, like, okay, I'm totally, I like his performance, I get what he's doing, that's the mood of the entire film. He basically embodies the entire film.
Yeah, and I was impressed with Josh Hutcherson, who plays the main kid's friend, who is kind of a bad seed. And it's a very cool movie. It's got some cool characters in it. And I feel like it moves pretty well, and it's a solid little family film, and I think it's a much better vampire movie than we're seeing lately.
Yeah, I said it beats in my review. I said it beats the pants off of Twilight.
And, you know, it's a nice little refresher to remind us that vampire movies can be fun, and they don't have to be like violent, like 30 Days of Night, or brooding like Twilight.
And it's also not all about angst and emotion. It's just about a kid who becomes a vampire. And that's what I liked about it. It's this little adventure. But you got to remember, it's a young adult book. And it really fits that mentality. It's maybe a little bit older than what you'd see on like Disney Channel, but sort of like iCarly with fangs is probably the best way to describe this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it kind of rocks.
I say it totally rocks. We got to go to a break.
All right. When we come back, more movies and stuff. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've sawed through the competition and
it was fun
traveled to the Cirque du Freak.
Oh, you had to get that in there, huh?
And now we're going to take off with some more reviews to flying movies, high-flying movies.
Or we'll crash and burn.
The first of which is probably more likely to be the latter. It's Amelia, in which Hilary Swank stars as the legendary aviatrix whose career was cut short by an unforeseen zombie apocalypse.
I'm going to fly around the world.
It can't be done.
Well, let's change that.
I'm a flyer pursuing my passion for the fun of it.
There's more to life than being a passenger.
If you miss this island, you're out of fuel with 2,000 miles to go.
I understand the danger. I can handle it.
No one has made it.
I will.
Did you receive transmission?
Oh, that's funny.
I was lying about the zombie apocalypse.
That didn't actually happen. Although that would have made the movie so much better.
That would have been totally awesome.
We came up with, while we were on the way, myself, Dr. Colobias, and Landon Palmer, who writes Culture Warrior for Film School Rejects, we're talking about how Amelia should end. Because, I mean, I think everybody knows that she disappears.
Oh, jeez.
At the end, because that's how it happened in real life.
And she doesn't disappear in a fun way. It's not like, she doesn't like throw down a smoke bomb and go, poof!
I feel like there should be a second one where she lands on a deserted island with snow on it and she has to fight off cannibal yetis.
Ooh. Would they be ninja football yetis
from the third Mummy movie? From the Mummy. But, you know, and oddly enough, I felt like the only part of this film that had any emotional weight was the last couple minutes where there's, you know, where it's kind of happening for her. But, you know, and really, ultimately, here's the deal. This is this year's Changeling, where they take a great actress like Hilary Swank, give her this role in this movie, and she acts her heart out to try and get that Oscar. And she's fine, except for the fact that the movie around her is awful.
Yeah. And not in a good way.
Not good.
And here's the thing. Let me just say this about the... Okay, spoiler alert. We're going to talk about the end of the movie here. It's not like Titanic, where we all know that Titanic sinks at the end of Titanic. But the action sequence, the like 40 minutes of the boat sinking, is phenomenal in Titanic. You're just like, wow, that's spectacular. And it looked awesome on the big screen and it was exciting. Mm-hmm. This is the ending of Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying. Are you flying? We don't see you. Well, I'm trying to fly here and I can't see you. Call back. We can't get your location. I'm running out of fuel. That is the ending of the movie. I mean, it's the most... In my opinion, so anticlimactic. So, you know, I'm just kind of like watching. See, this is the thing. Biopics are hard to do because life has a great sense of drama, but not a great sense of timing, and it doesn't always put things together right. And so if you are true to the story, it's not going to be as dramatic and as exciting. And, you have to, when you make a movie, you got to walk that tightrope between making it true and making it a good movie, and this just wasn't, because let's face it, her life, I mean, she did some really cool things, Amelia Earhart did, but her life was kind of boring. I mean, all she did really was she flew, and that's awesome, but it wasn't like, you know, she wasn't fighting off ninja yetis or anything like that. And the other thing with Amelia Earhart, this movie does answer the question that was posed in last season of The Office: is Hilary Swank hot? And with this movie under your belt, you can have a resounding no, because
I don't think that's necessarily true.
What, you were hot? You had a thing for redheaded, freckled faced Amelia Earhart in this movie?
She's an attractive woman. She's just, you know, it's just, she looks the part. She looks like Amelia Earhart. Yeah. She talks, I guess, like Amelia Earhart talked.
Well, see, but that's the other thing is
it's kind of comical in a way.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, I felt like I was watching some James Cagney movie. They're like, and so here we go. We got Amelia Earhart is going to be flying the plane, and I'm sure that it's accurate, but
it's not quite as bad as Billy Crudup's accent in Public Enemies from earlier this year.
I didn't see that yet.
But I was on vacation. I just felt like this movie had no. It was just so. You know, here's the thing. They chose the wrong story about Amelia Earhart to tell. They tell this story about her. It's supposed to be really kind of this feminist movie where it's about what she did for women and, how she started the 99s, which is the female aviation group.
Which is all awesome. I mean,
which
I think
is all great, and I wish they would have focused more on that and more on her as a celebrity and her drive to succeed, but ultimately gets bogged down in her relationship with men. It gets bogged down with her relationship with her husband, Mr. Putnam of Putnam Publishing, played by Richard Gere, and several
GP,
other
GP as we call them.
Yeah, several other guys along the way, and I think that really they just chose to put the wrong lens on her life, and it really kind of makes her come off as not the best person in the world. Like, not as...
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. She's kind of a
sexually confused, and
she's just, you know, and she's just, it just it didn't feel like they it did not feel like a movie that that really honored her.
I was rolling my eyes. I kept rolling my eyes at all these.
Plus, it was schmaltzy. My gosh.
Well, but it was a puff piece. There was no flaw really to her at all, which is it's hard to do. And like with the movie Notorious that came out early this year, I give them credit, and they showed them selling crack to kids, and I'm like, because that's what Notorious B.I.G. did. Not that Amelia Earhart was selling crack or anything like that, but she had her flaws. They just didn't show them in this movie. And then they made her like, it's just like, it took every single feminist dig they could. They're like, she's getting married and they have love, honor, and obey. And she's like, oh, I don't know about that obey part. And you're just like, really? Seriously? We've got to put that in the movie?
I kind of like that part. I just didn't.
Okay now and then, but it just keeps going on. And they had to keep saying, oh, like, I don't know how many times you had somebody telling her she was beautiful. And I'm like, I've seen pictures of Amelia Earhart, and she wasn't classically beautiful. She wasn't non-classically beautiful. She was an awkward-looking woman. And you can't just declare that she's a gorgeous woman and have it exist, you know. And it was kind of living in this fantasy world. And the only part that I thought, and I don't think she did a good job acting, I thought it was caricatured. And the only one who was worse was Cherry Jones as Eleanor Roosevelt, who, you know, who played the president on 24, and now she's the president's wife in this movie. And it was just like, it was the most awkward Eleanor Roosevelt impression I've ever seen. It just, the whole movie was put together poorly and shabbily and badly edited. And they tied it together with like these newspaper headlines and this weird newsreel announcer.
Just, I mean, it felt like, it felt very poorly directed. There are shots where, you know, she and Ewan McGregor's character are having a conversation. It looks like they were filmed separately, you know. It's just so awkwardly put together. And I think, you know, I feel like this is not the movie that
anyone intended.
that was intended, yeah. And it's very unfortunate because I think Amelia Earhart's a really compelling really compelling person in history, and
yeah.
It's just disappointing to see just such a slow, painful, aggressively mediocre movie come out of it. So yeah. Totally sucks.
I say it sucks. Real quick, let's do Astro Boy. The best-selling Magna comes to life in a CGI animated film with Nicolas Cage.
He has the most advanced systems ever created. A perfect robot.
Your boy?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Out! I'm Cora. Call me Astro.
My army could use a robot like that. Mobilize all units. I want that thing now.
What's with you guys?
Huh?
I got machine guns in my butt.
You didn't see this because you hate children, right?
I do, and I didn't want to see them get their hair styled.
My kids got their hair styled. They loved it. And they made me go buy that gel. So they come home from school now, and they're like, can I have my hair like Astro Boy?
Wow.
So this one was, I said this one sort of falls in between, somewhere between WALL-E and Space Chimps. Now, that's a huge chasm, I will admit.
Yeah.
But it is in there somewhere. Probably the best in terms of, like, quality. It reminds me of, like, Robots, if you saw that movie. I mean, it's good. It's better than, like, Dougal and Happily Never After, but it's not at the level of Pixar. It really has, it's really kind of two movies, because it's one with him discovering that he's a robot, and then there's one where he has to kind of falls to Earth because the city lives in the sky, and he's kind of has this really weird sort of, I don't know, this Oliver Twist kind of story to it. But I mean, the kids liked it. It's 90 minutes and it's got it's animated. It's dark though. I mean, like, it starts off with him, because the story is, it's this kid, this genius kid who gets killed in an accident by his dad. And I mean, I'm watching this, I'm like going, wow, they just vaporized him. That's pretty harsh. So
yeah,
just be warned. But my kids just blew right over that. I thought it kind of rocks for me.
All right, cool. Let me come back, you know, more stuff.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are rolling into our infamous middle segment, which is infamous.
It's infamously infamous.
Yes. We do box office at this point.
Yeah, I know. So let's. I don't know what's so infamous about the box office.
It's, well.
Hey, it's that thing we get wrong every week.
Well, we get the stuff right when we talk about what happened last weekend. We'd have to be really incompetent if we're going to sit there and be like, well, Jennifer Body came back from behind and took the box offices last weekend.
Oh, well, that's true. So we will start with what happened last week and Where the Wild Things Are, finishing number one with $32 million, and then followed by Law Abiding Citizen, which opened pretty well, $21 million. It's kind of a big deal.
I said that was going to do well. I was predicting
it did
that.
Do well. Paranormal Activity in third in its wide release has made a crap ton of money for being a movie that cost what, $15,000.
It cost about as much as my car did.
And so. It's so far has grossed over $30 million. And then
it has made more money for Paramount than my car has made for me.
Couples Retreat into number four, and number five was The Stepfather. So all three major releases last week in the top five, which is interesting, yes. I guess.
And in case you're wondering, Jennifer's Body did come in number 39th. Wow.
Hey, it's got to finish somewhere, man. Did you know that movie? Let me just put it this way. That movie has made $16 million.
Which isn't much. How much was the budget?
Let's see. Hold on.
Like 16. It was 16.
So
it made its budget
Barely made it back. It's made 18 worldwide. And Paranormal Activity, on the other hand, has made 33, and it is only in less than 1,000 theaters.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's amazing. It just kind of puts it in a perspective of Paranormal Activity. And I think Jennifer's Body is one of those films that a lot of people heard a lot about. It was a much talked about film, and then Paranormal Activity, until very recently, was not talked about.
But it's
and then
it,
all
it's
of a sudden
just
made a lot of money, and it was a
Buzz
good movie.
That's the thing. Buzz doesn't make a movie. People think that in Hollywood, they're like, "Oh, we'll just get a lot of stories written about it." And it's been proved time and time again that it's the quality of the film, or at least at the very least, it's that a film connects with an audience. Mm-hmm. That's what you need, and you can have put all the stars you want in it. You can have all the buzz you want. You can have everybody writing about it. You know, and you can take people to junkets and give them, you know, massages and happy endings and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You're still not going to get a movie do well.
Yeah.
If it's not good. You know, even like Couples Retreat, with a lot of people bashed, and I liked, but a lot of people bashed that. It fits a mold. It fits sort of that it's a couples movie. It's something you can go see with a date, and it's relatively safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Stepfather was fifth, which is kind of disappointing to me because I hated that movie.
Yeah, it was, you know, that's what I hear.
Yeah. When I saw it, I'll go on Twitter after the movie and send out, especially if it's a movie I pay to go see at midnight, I'll be like, oh, if I hate it, I'm going to really trash it. So I typed in Stepfather equals Turd of the Year.
Nice.
And a whole bunch of people retweeted that. And then I wrote my review later on, and a friend of mine on Twitter's like, do you really need to add anything to Turd of the Year? I mean, is there anything that you need to clarify about that?
Right, exactly. So. Well, I mean, you could barely expand on it a little bit.
Yes.
So there.
It had a corn in it. and I'm not even going to go. If you want to see what I have to say about Stepfather, go read my review.
Yeah, go read the review.
And there's actually, I've got a lot of good feedback on the encapsulated review I did on Film School Rejects. Because one of the things I said in there, I said, usually I'll say, like, if there's a movie I don't like, I'll be like, oh, well, at least it was in focus.
Right.
Not even this movie. This movie wasn't even in focus. There were parts where people would, like, and if somebody will be like, they got them in focus, and then they'll, like, lean back and they'll go soft. That happened all through the movie. So I don't know where the focus puller was in this film. I've talked way too much about this.
This is true. Let's move on to next week's box office. In which we have Saw's
going to win.
Astro Boy and Saw are the two biggest. The Vampire's Assistant is right there with him at about 2,800 theaters.
It's way up there.
Amelia is a very small release. I don't think it's going to make hardly any money.
I don't think it's going to make the top 10 because I'm hearing bad buzz about it. Not just what I didn't like, and not just I know you didn't like it, and Dr. Cole Abias didn't like it. Not that we're on the cutting edge, although we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hearing lots of bad buzz. Some other people I know who are critics are just like ripping it apart.
Yeah.
And I don't think it might make the top 10. It's not going to make the top 5.
I'm not sure. But I think
it'll probably be like 11.
It's already going to be pretty crowded in the top 10.
Yeah. And it does not have a zombie apocalypse in it, which would have made it better.
Yep, no.
They should have done it. They should have just done that. And then people would walk out and be like, that was a terrible movie, but you've got to see it so that you can watch the ending. It's awesome. There's zombies in it. People are like, oh, yeah.
I have nothing to say to that.
It would make more money if there were zombies at the end.
I think that's true as well. But so yeah, I agree. Saw's going to win this week. And Astro Boy and Cirque du Freak, the Vampire's Assistant, we'll probably both finish in the top 10. I don't know if they're both going to finish in top 5, though, because you still have Where the Wild Things Are. And Paranormal Activity, I think, is opening even wider.
Well, Paranormal Activity is going to be fighting a little bit against Saw because of it being a horror movie. I think Cirque du Freak's going to do well enough, but it's not going to be a huge hit. Astro Boy, I don't know. I mean, although I thought the movie was okay, it's just, it's no longer special to have a CGI movie, so I think Astro Boy's, I think, going to be a little soft.
That's yeah, and you've got the Nightmare Before Christmas also.
That's only like a couple dozen theaters.
No, it's in 60 theaters. It's in 3D. So I think
5 dozen.
You never know. That thing does well every year. So
yeah, it's great in 3D. I've seen it in 3D. It looks
It's very cool. So there you go. Woo, Scorcher this week.
Wow. You just got like either really, really cool or really, really uncool in that last 30 seconds.
No, I'm really cool. Okay. Anyway, moving on to the Fat Guy 5.
Boop, boop.
This week's Fat Guy 5 is 5 awesome vampire movies that are not Twilight.
in honor of the Vampire's Assistant.
Yeah, in honor of movies that aren't Twilight, I guess.
Exactly.
I'll let you start. I mean, most of these are pretty much yours. You're kind of the vampire aficionado. I have a few that I like.
You're not a big horror movie buff.
Yeah, but I like stuff.
You like stuff. Thanks for expanding on
that. Yeah, no, I do what I can.
Okay, good. Well, the first one is Dracula, and I'm just going to say that not every single Dracula movie has been made is good, because there's a lot of crap out there. But in particular, the Dracula adaptations, 3 of them that I think that were good were, of course, Nosferatu, which was it's a silent film, fantastically done, especially for its era. The 1931 Dracula with Bela Lugosi and Francis Ford Coppola's reimagining of it in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those get a little nod for just Dracula in general.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I'll mention, since these are all mine, Interview with the Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that I was not a huge fan of Anne Rice's books, and when I heard that Tom Cruise was going to be Lestat, I was like, wow, that's going to suck. But it's a good film. It's a really, really, really well-done film, way better than any of its sequels. I don't know if you ever saw...
I never saw the sequels. I saw the original
Queen of the Damned. There's Queen of the Damned and... not the Vampire Lestat, but whatever the one...
I don't know.
It was Stuart Townsend as Lestat, and he was terrible.
Unfortunate.
But yeah, the first one, Interview with the Vampire, was good. Mm-hmm. And then Night Watch. Did you see Night Watch?
I have not.
It's a good movie.
It's the Timur Bandukov movie, right?
That Russian dude.
The guy who did Wanted.
Yeah, and it's like Wanted is not necessarily it's not a crime drama. You know what I mean? It's more than that. It kind of exists in this realm that's sort of outside a definable category. And same thing with Night Watch. It's not really a horror movie. It takes place in this sort of vampire world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have good vampires and bad vampires, and they do, and it's subtitled, but it has the most unique subtitles I've ever seen because they incorporate it into the film. It's hard to explain, but it's really, really good. Day Watch, its sequel, wasn't as good, but Night Watch was fantastic. And I think it was the highest grossing Russian movie ever made. Is that sound correct?
Something
to you?
Like that.
I always defer my questions to you.
Nice. All right. Well, the next one is my pick, is 30 Days of Night, directed by David Slade, and it's based on a comic book by Steve Niles, and it stars that Josh Hartnett guy, probably one of his better movies. He's made some bad ones. But
Hollywood Homicide, you're not into that?
No. But it's an awesome, very scary, very dark, very and one of the things I liked about it is that the vampires are very kind of animalistic in the sense that they're evil, you know? They're just pure
because we
evil. They don't romanticize. And I think that a lot of times that's what annoys me about vampire movies is they romanticize the vampire, you know?
Yeah.
And they romanticize, I mean, even shows like True Blood where it's like, I want to fall in love with a vampire and you know.
Yeah, there's no falling in love with these vampires.
There's no, like, it is just sheer terrifying. You know, like, it is like exactly how, like, bloodthirsty, like, it is the essence of bloodthirsty vampires coming to a town in Alaska. Like, they just want to eat everyone, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it. Like, that's all they care about. And I think that's a very interesting take because that's probably, you know, that's all we see, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like movies like Twilight and stuff where it's just like,
oh, I love a vampire.
You know, the only other movie I think is like that is like Blade.
Yeah, Blade's like pretty hardcore.
All the vampires are just bad. Like, they just want to eat people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, and that goes back to Dracula. I mean, originally Dracula was the romantic, you know, sensual. And then Anne Rice did it with that. And I do like seeing movies that are just about vampires that want to kill people.
Yeah, no, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Whew.
So, speaking of vampires that want to kill people, but also might be a little romantic, my top pick is Fright Night, which is a movie I don't think gets enough play. Mm-hmm. I don't think it gets enough love, but Fright Night, starring Chris Sarandon, mm-hmm. Susan Sarandon's brother,
mm-hmm.
as not as Prince Humperdinck, but as a vampire who moves next door to Charlie Brewster. And this nerdy kid in high school who loves watching horror films. And it also has Amanda Bierce in it from Married with Children as a non-lesbian.
Yeah.
She gets seduced by a vampire, which I think may have contributed to her, change in sexuality.
Nice.
That's just me. I'm just guessing.
Nice.
This is Fright Night's a great movie. It's an awesome vampire movie from the 80s. It's if you compare it to Lost Boys, I think it's better than Lost Boys in terms of an 80s vampire cheese. So
sure.
Yeah,
sure. I'm down.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our Fat Guy Five this week. It's all about vampires and stuff.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to go to a break and go suck some blood.
Wow. Oh, geez. When we come back, we're gonna wrap you up and send you off into the darkness.
Bleh.
Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, we are. And it's time to leave our foolish cutting through Saw and flying away with Amelia and Astro Boy and going to the Cirque du Freak so we can talk about something else.
We just got done sucking on some vampire movies. So now we're going to move on.
That sounds a little strange.
Sinking our teeth into some vampire movies, mind you. And now we're going to move on to the world-famous DVD Roundup. And this week I'm starting... This is just an awful week. I think we were talking off the air about just how not interesting this week's DVD releases are. However, there are some big ones.
A couple decent ones out.
According to the notes, I want to have Michael Bay's Babies.
That's true.
That may or may not be true.
I think that's
but
totally
either
true.
Way... Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is on DVD and Blu-ray. The Blu-ray looks very good. It's got tons of special features. I would say if you're like me and you like this movie, it's worth buying on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And for everyone else, I think for all the people that didn't see it, which is probably not that many because it's still the number one grossing movie of the year, if you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. It's not a great movie. It's got plenty of problems. It's a little longer than it needs to be. Lot longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the technical achievement of it, of some of the Transformers and their fight scenes, is impressive. I would suggest it.
I think. I mean, if you haven't seen it, go get it on Blu-ray. I mean, it's worth seeing at least to get your opinion out there because I do think it's going to be remembered as sort of like Batman Forever was.
Mm.
It's like people will be like, people will be like, well, that really was. They're going to look back on it and be like, yeah, that wasn't a good movie, but it looked cool, kind of thing. And it broke all these records. Batman Forever did very, very well in the theaters, but I don't think there's anybody who's like, you know what, Dark Knight was good, but man, Batman Forever was awesome. and I think that if he continues down this slope, Transformers 3, this could be the beginning and the end of the franchise. Even though it made $200 million, it's like first weekend, you know.
I mean, yeah. I think, you know, hopefully they go with a smaller movie.
Yeah.
The third time around. But also, probably an even better pick is Blood the Last Vampire.
Okay.
Which is, Kevin, you'll like this. This is a hot Asian girl in a schoolgirl's outfit killing vampires.
Is she naked? Well, she's in the schoolgirl outfit, so she's not naked.
That's good enough. And you know what? This movie's fun.
I'll allow it.
This movie's a lot of fun to watch because there's some pretty hyper-violent stuff in it. But like Ninja Assassin, it had some stupid CGI blood, and it was the CGI is pretty rough. Okay. But for a direct-to-DVD movie, it's actually a lot better than it probably has any business being.
Okay.
So
I don't like CGI blood.
I'm mounting a campaign against CGI blood as we speak.
Yeah.
It's awful. Wait till you see Ninja Assassin. It's like... Anyway, what are your picks?
I would have to say that my top pick is going to be Black Adder, the complete collection, and Fawlty Towers, which is the remaster series on DVD. If you've not seen them, they're two classic British shows. And the Black Adder set's awesome because it has all the four seasons of Black Adder plus the specials they did and their Christmas special. All of these are awesome. And Fawlty Towers is a very, very, very funny series. There's also Peanuts, the 1970s collection, Volume 1.
I watched that. That's good stuff.
That's some awesome things. It has like the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
Cherie with Michelle Pfeiffer as a courtesan who has an affair with a younger man. I'll just throw that a bone because, you know, hey, it's a Miramax movie if you like that sort of thing. And I have a thing for Michelle Pfeiffer, so there you go. Wrong Turn 3, which was okay. But considering the fray of stuff that's out today, I'd have to say that's one of the ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And 100 Feet, I haven't seen yet, but that comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, and it has Femke Janssen in it. So I'm kind of interested about that.
Yeah. Whew. What's the stinker this week?
Well, give me a minute here.
It's Waterworld.
It's Waterworld. Waterworld on Blu-ray. Kevin
and you
Costner.
Know why? There's a really good reason why this is the stinker.
Okay.
Because I'm okay with Waterworld being out there.
Okay.
It's not a terrible movie. I mean, it's a pretty bad movie, but I'm okay with it being on Blu-ray, and I will even...
You will allow it to be on Blu-ray?
Go as far as to add something like that to my collection if it had a bunch of good special features. But this Blu-ray has nothing on it.
That's like sort of like the standard now. They're releasing things with nothing on them, which is annoying.
Like, that is... Like, you're telling me there's nothing from this movie? There's no behind the scenes, nothing that you could have put on this Blu-ray? It's so lazily done, and so definitely a stinker.
Here's my story about Waterworld. I was waiting for the Land of the Lost DVD with bated breath because I was the only person who got it. And I was having a bad day, and I went to my mailbox, and there was a box from Universal. And I'm like, awesome, because I usually get Universal Blu-rays. And it was Waterworld. That was how my day went. You know, that encapsulated my sort of crappy day. So, but I'll give it a mention since there you go. Waterworld.
Yeah.
We better wrap up. Okay, I guess I'll take the lead on that.
No. We're going to do a review wrap-up now. I was just thinking of Waterworld. It's bad. Anyway, Amelia, I said totally sucks.
And I have to say I concur. It totally sucks.
And then you saw Astro Boy and said...
It kind of rocks. Could be worse.
Cirque du Freak, the Vampire's Assistant, I said kind of rocks.
And I said totally rocks. I liked it.
And we unanimously declare that Saw 6 preemptively sucks.
Yes, it's a contractual obligation.
Next week is the scariest movie of the year, Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what comes out next week? This Is It.
This Is It. Directed by Kenny Ortega of My School Musical fame.
In the meantime, get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. We'll see you next week.